Welcome to Hillside Baptist Church Podcast. We are a church that is committed to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is our privilege to open God's Word with you. It is our prayer that you receive the message from the man of God with an open heart. That through God's Word, you are encouraged and equipped to face life's challenges. But most importantly, it is our prayer that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't already. If you'd like to connect with us, you can do so at hillsidebc.com, find us on Facebook, or send us an email at info@hillsidebc.com. We hope that you benefit from today's message and that you would share it with a friend. But let's now open our hearts and God's Word.
Thank you. It is a joy to be here, and I have the opportunity to share God's Word with you. You know, if you'd watched me walk up to the pulpit 15 years ago, I used to could walk up here in 10 seconds. Now it takes me 10 minutes. And I used to could walk up here, as I said in last week, I could walk up here with a half a page of notes and speak for 45 minutes. Now it takes me 45 pages of notes to speak for 5 minutes or something like that. I don't know what it is. You know, God is good. He loves me. You know, these specials, they speak to me. I guess my favorite song, and it has been since we were in Ethiopia. I don't remember if the name of the book was Slave of Slave or King of Kings. Whichever it was the life story of Newton. And, you know, he was a slave himself in Africa. And as I read his story, there was times when I wanted to put it away and not read it anymore because it wasn't pleasant, some of the stuff I read about that. And I started to lay the book down, but I kept going. And you know, when I come to the last page, I sit and whiz, lived about 200 miles north of Addis Ababa in a town called Kombolcha. It was about 200 miles, but it was an 8-hour drive because the road was all dirt and rock and everything. But you know, as I read that last page, I started crying. Because then I could see, you know, without him telling the wretched man that he was, I would not have understood what he was saying when he said it was God's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. And I started crying. My wife was in the back room sewing. And I walked in there and I made her get up and come and sit on my lap. And I held her and cried on her shoulder a little while. You know, God speaks to us. And in John chapter 10, if you would, open up to John chapter 10. That's where my message comes from tonight. The title of my message is, Do You Hear the Voice of God? And, you know, as I sat and I thought about that, do you hear the voice of God? I really think sometimes, especially, now that I've got a few years, sometimes I sit and I listen without hearing. I listen to what's being said to me, but I don't hear what's being said. So, verse 27 is where this comes from. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep, Jesus' sheep. We are his sheep. And we're going to get to that in a little bit, but I'm going to share with you a little bit too about the sheepfold. There was two different kinds, and I'll share those with you too later. I want to start out though with a story that's told about an old priest that was getting ready to celebrate his 50th anniversary of ordination. And he asked Richard Burton to come and quote his favorite psalm, Psalms 23. he asked Richard Burton to come and quote that to the congregation. And Richard Burton said, okay, I'll come if you'll make me a promise. When I get finished, you'll give your rendition of Psalms 23 also. So the day come, and Richard Burton stood up, and he masterfully gave his rendition of the 23rd Psalm. And when he got through, people were clapping and shouting and saying, hey, man, hallelujah. And during that time, the old man was standing up, and in his quiet, frail voice, he started quoting from memory the 23rd Psalm. When he got through, the congregation was quiet. No one had anything to say except some of them was crying. Someone leaned over to Richard Burton and said to him, what's going on here? Why did they give you such applause and everything? And then when the old man does it, it turns out like this. And Richard Burton leaned over and he said, I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. And praise God, that's what I want to say tonight. Do we know the shepherd? Do we know his voice? Are we close enough to him? You know, even voice. If a stranger speaks to me, I don't know who's talking. But if it's someone I've spent time with, and I've conversed with them, and we've carried on conversations, and we've spent hours together, when he starts speaking, I recognize his voice, and I know who he is. And that's what I need to do with my shepherd, Jesus Christ. I need to spend time with him and get to know and recognize his voice and hear what he has to say to me. Do we really know the shepherd? We look at the sheep and the sheep and the shepherd of Bible times, and you know, Jesus, he didn't call himself the good shepherd. He calls himself the good shepherd. I'm sorry, he didn't call himself the king. He calls himself the good shepherd. He didn't say, hey, I'm King Jesus. He didn't say, I'm President Jesus. He didn't say, I'm High Commissioner Jesus. He didn't say, I'm Dr. Jesus or Reverend Jesus. He said, I'm a servant. I'm a caretaker. I'm a watchman. He said, I am the shepherd. And, you know, we are his disciple. My sheep know my voice. I know them and they follow me. That gives us a title to it. Now, as we look at this, the two types of sheepfolds, they had one for out in the country. When the shepherd was out there, they would build a pile of rocks and pile them around, just leave a little opening in the front, 4 or 5 feet. Or they'd take thorn bushes and pile them up in a circle. And then when the sheep would go in at night, they didn't have a gate with hinges on it. The shepherd would lay down across that opening. And then if a sheep wanted to get out, he had to cross over Jesus to get out. And you know, we, if we want to get out, we have to cross over Jesus to get out, because he is the door and he's laying there. He's protecting us from anyone getting into us or from us getting out. And so that was the country sheepfold that they had. Now in the city, they had one that was a little higher class, a little more sturdily built, and it was like a community. And they had a porter that watched over it. And when the shepherd would come in the morning, the porter would recognize the shepherds that had sheep in there, and he would open the door and let the shepherd go in. And the shepherd would go in and he'd call them a name and they would come out. And then the shepherd would close the door and he'd walk around in front of them and lead them. You know, I like that. You know, the shepherd led the sheep. He didn't drive them. He didn't try to force them to go a certain way, but he walked out in front of them where he could protect them and keep them from getting into the wrong area. And they knew his voice and they followed him because they recognized his voice. And if a stranger, they wouldn't follow. Now, as we look at the sheep, the shepherd and the sheep, there's three things that requires us to hear God's voice. three things that's necessary. The first one is we need to have a relationship with Him. We need to have an association or a connection with Him, with Jesus. We need to be connected to Him. Many people never hear His voice because they don't have a relationship with Him. They don't know the shepherd. The sheep will follow the true shepherd, but he that entereth in by the door is a sheep of the shepherd. I jumped ahead of myself. I want to read those first verses of John chapter 10. Let's go back there. And you'll have to excuse me because sometimes my tongue goes faster than my brain does. John chapter 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow them, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they knew not the voice of the stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. But they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And then in verse 25, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have together tonight. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the opportunity to share this message that you've laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray that you would just clear my mind of any thoughts that would hinder me from delivering it in a way that would bring honor and glory and worship to you. Lord, help us tonight to accomplish your purpose in our being together. And Lord, our purpose of coming tonight is not for us to be blessed, but it's to worship and honor and glorify you in your name and your Son. Help us, Lord, to do that and to give you the praise and honor and glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, we need to have a relationship with the Lord. Shepherd, the sheep will follow the shepherd. To enjoy the full impact of what he was teaching, we need to stop and look and read and study about the sheepfold and the master. The shepherd and the sheep and their interaction between each other. John 10 and what Jesus was talking about here is that communal one. Then the porter would recognize him and let him into the corral. You know, I like some of these verses down through here. Every one of them. You could stop and just each verse throughout this chapter, Each verse will speak to your heart if you'll let it speak to you and if you will accept it as God is speaking to you. You know, it says the sheep call his sheep by name. You know, I look at that. Jesus Christ in heaven. He wants me to follow him. He calls my name out in heaven. The shepherd calls his sheep by name, and they come to him and follow him out of the corral. You know, when Jesus calls my name for me to come and follow him, God hears Jesus calling my name. I'm a believer. I put my faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will call my name for me to follow him because he wants me to go with him, be near him. He wants me to have a relationship with him. He wants me to know his voice. He wants me to know when he's speaking to me. He wants me to understand what he has and what he's trying to sell me, what he's trying to tell me. He calls my name, and I like that. But you know something else? I like the fact Betty, she's been gone out 2.5 years this month. And you know she hears Jesus. When he calls my name, Betty hears him call my name. And she knows that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But you know, there's some more proof. She hears Jesus call my name because I am a child of the King. And you know, when I read that and I thought about it, whew, even that gave me a blessing. It picked me up when I get down. And you know, I'll be honest with you. This old man gets down quite often. Some days it takes more to get him up out of the dumps than it does other days. I ask you to pray with me because, you know, April 17th, my mom was born in 1909. In 2015, my daughter-in-law of this date, my daughter-in-law passed away. 2018, on this date, my daughter passed away. And then, as I mentioned, 2.5 years ago, my wife, she went to heaven. You know, my mom, though, going back to her, I was at the hospital the day she died. She was there and she was quoting the 23rd Psalm. She was talking to Jesus. She tried to raise her kids right. She did her best. You know, she said to us as we stood there by her bed and she was dying, she said, "My feet's getting wet." She was getting ready to cross over the river. And she went home and she went to heaven. And I just thank God that I had a Christian mom. She used to get me up and we walked 0.7 miles to church and back before my dad started going with us. But my mom got us kids up and we had to walk to church with her 0.7 mile, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But she loved God, she loved to sing. Ask Lillian, you got a song you'd like to sing? And mom would be there ringing her. She'd say, "Ah, yeah." And she'd come up and she'd start singing one of those old songs that from the Pilgrim Songbook of Givers. They don't have notes in them, they just have the words. She'd sing the, "I am a poor wayfaring pilgrim, just traveling through this world below." She did her best for us to serve God in the way that she wanted him served. I'm proud to be a child of the King. Amen. You know another thing? To Jesus, he calls me by name. The Antichrist puts a number on us. I like the fact that Jesus knows my name. Bob Stamper, ah, hallelujah. You know, I don't deserve what he does for me. He does it for one reason. He loves this old hillbilly. Can't understand why, because I've done so little for him and I've been such a failure for him. But he loves me because I'm a child of his. And I love my children regardless of what they do. Even when they do wrong, I still love them. And you know what? I make mistakes. He still loves me. I'm not a number in a computer. You know, these days it's getting hard to talk to anything but a computer, isn't it? Sometimes I got something I really need to know. And I can't get someone to give me the answer. And I'll spend an hour trying to get to someone that can tell me what's going on, and I get frustrated because I can't find anyone to talk to. All that computer just keeps on talking it over and over. Antichrist gives us a number. Jesus calls us by name. The shepherd knows the needs of his sheep. He knows my needs. You know, one day I was down and I read where Jesus said, he told Peter, he said, I prayed for you. And I kept reading and I found out, hey, you know, Jesus prays for me. And you know something? That was a blessing to me. Jesus, my Savior, he prays for me. Hallelujah. He knows my weaknesses, my hurts. He knows if I'm sick or anemic. He knows I like to wander. He knows my hurts, my shortcomings. But it says we can know him. He knows his sheep, and he knows me. He speaks to his sheep. He protects his sheep. He provides for them. But it all requires we have to have a relationship with him. You know, if I never talk to someone, I don't understand them. You know, getting hard to hear and put everything together anyhow. But if I never, the more accustomed I become to someone's voice, the better I understand them and hear them. So if I'll spend more time with Jesus, I'll understand when he's speaking to me better. Sheep will flee from the stranger. There was a man in Australia. He was taken to court. They said he had stolen a sheep. He went to the court and he said, no, he said, I didn't steal that sheep. He said, that sheep was my sheep, and he had been wandering for a while, but he's my sheep. The judge there in Australia, he wasn't sure how to handle the situation because he couldn't get to the bottom line. So he told him, he said, go out, bring the sheep inside the courtroom. So they brought the sheep inside the courtroom, and the judge told the guy that had said the other man had taken the sheep, whatever you'd call him, I forget what he's called, but the judge sent him out. He went out and he called the sheep, and the sheep just stood up and kind of nervous. He didn't recognize the voice. He told the other man that had said, it's my sheep that's gone astray. He's mine. He told him, he says, go outside the door and call him. He went outside, and with his special voice, he started calling that sheep, and that sheep got up and started running toward the door. And the judge looked around, and he said, that sheep knows who his master is. Case dismissed. You know, that's the way it should be with us. My sheep know my voice, and we follow him. No one can take us away from him. You know, people, we go to church. And I say we. We go to church and we sit there and we're kind of anxious sometimes for church to get over. We should just be sit back and listen, because that pastor that speaks to us every Sunday morning, he's not brought a message yet that didn't bless my heart. I sat and I listened to him. He is speaking God's words to me. So I need to listen to him, because when he speaks to me on Sunday morning in his message, that's God speaking to me. That's my shepherd speaking to me. And I shouldn't be in a hurry. I should just sit back, enjoy it. Listen to what God has to say for him. Be drawn closer to him and listen and pay attention to what he's saying. So if we're going to hear God's voice, we have to have a relationship with him. But then there's got to be a recognition of the Savior. We've got to recognize who he is. If someone speaks to us and we don't recognize who he is, we don't know whether we listen to him or not. Whew. On the radio and TV these days, it can't all be true. I don't listen to the news much anymore, because I don't understand enough about politics to know what's going on. but they won't listen to the voice. You know, listening. A confession that I'm not happy to make. My sweetheart isn't here, but I'm going to reference her. You know, I'd work on a computer, and she'd come in and she'd say, "Honey," I'd say, "Yeah, what's up, babe?" And she'd start talking to me. And she'd get through talking to me, and she'd start to walk out of the room. And as she started to walk out of the room, I realized I'd been listening, but I seriously had not heard a word that she had to say. I'm not proud of that fact now. And in fact, I'll say this, you guys. I hope you're not like me, and I hope you didn't do that. But sometimes I hear people treating their wives that way, and man, it breaks my heart because I wish I could be different. You know what my wife used to do after that? I'm telling you the truth. She used to come in, and she'd walk up to the computer. She'd take me by the chin, and she'd turn my face around to her. She'd say, "Are you listening?" I'd say, "Yes, baby, I'm listening to you." You know, that's what she had to do to get my attention. I'm not proud of it. I'm telling you the truth, so if you're doing it to your wife, change. Be different. Listen to what she has to say. If she didn't think it was important, she wouldn't be coming and telling you at that time. We need to recognize the person speaking to us to know if they have something important to say to us. And I'll tell you one thing, guys. My wife never had anything to say to me that wasn't important. I just didn't recognize it back when I should have. We need to hear God's voice and recognize Him. But you know, I said to this, I listened to what she said, but I didn't hear her. I listened. I did. I listened. But my mind wasn't thinking about that. It was on something else. We need to listen on purpose to our wife when she's speaking. And we need to listen on purpose when God is speaking to us. When our shepherd's speaking to us, we need to listen on purpose. If it wasn't important, he wouldn't be speaking to us. So it is important. So we need to listen to him and hear what he has to say. How can we listen? I made a note in here. You will hear and recognize God's word only if you are intentional about listening for it. We need to be intentional. And I looked up that word that gives you other words that you can use in their place of them, to try to find a better thesaurus. I looked up to see if there was a better word than intentional. I couldn't find a better word than that. So you'll just have to use that word and bear with me, or you can go look up another word. We need to recognize because we are listening intentionally, or we are listening on purpose to Him. We're listening on purpose because we know He has something that's good for us. If we are listening to God intentionally, we'll hear His voice, we'll recognize it, and we'll listen to what He has to say. Recognize His voice requires that you are familiar with it and close enough to hear it. Now, a lot of times the sheep, you know, even when they was out there wandering, if a sheep wandered too far away from the shepherd, the distance that that sheep would be from the shepherd would keep him from hearing what the shepherd had to say. And that's the way it is with us, folks. If we drift too far from our shepherd, Jesus Christ, if we get away from Him too far, He's not stopped talking to us. But the distance away from us that we've allowed Him to get hinders our hearing, even with hearing aids, to where you don't hear and understand what He's saying to you. So we need to listen intentionally. We need to stay close enough to Him that we hear. And you know what? If you're close enough to Him, you will hear. Even when He whispers to you, you will still hear what He has to say. But to do so, you've got to be close to him. Now, if you're a long ways off and you'd like, you know, some people hear me. But when you're a long distance off, it's more difficult to hear and understand what the shepherd is saying to you and what he wants you to do. You know, sometimes I don't like this either, so I'm going to say it to you. I never referred to Betty as my old lady. I think that was too disrespectful, and I couldn't call her my old lady. And there's something that goes along with that. I'm going to sing a little bit to you. Have you talked to the man upstairs? Well, he wants to hear from you. You know, he's not the man upstairs. And I think it's disrespectful to call him that. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He watches over me. He takes care of me. And he guides me and protects me. And I don't like it when I hear people making references to him as the man upstairs in any form like that. And then the third thing, we need to have a resignation to him. We need to resign ourselves completely to him. Give our life completely under his authority and under his control. He never wants anything bad for us. He always wants the best. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Jesus deserves our praise and our obedience. As long as the sheep continue following the shepherd, they continue to hear his voice. The shepherd's calling us by name. He leads us. He doesn't drive us. We will continue hearing his voice. As the distance between us grow farther apart, we stop hearing him. Not because the shepherd is not speaking, but we've drifted too far away. And you guys know the song or the picture. Lord, why is it that when I come to these bad situations, you walked away and you left me? There's only one set of footprints. And the Lord says, son, that's not where I left you. That's where I picked you up and I carried you. I didn't leave you to go through that by yourself, but I carried you through those situations. You know, I wonder how many situations he's carried me through. In Ethiopia one time, I really thought I was going to get beat up by about 20 to 30 young men. But they never touched me. They never harmed me. But you know, I was kind of silly one time. Had Betty in the car, and we were coming in from Addis Ababa to Ethiopia. They were kicking a soccer ball across the road in front of me and almost hit my car with it. It upset me enough that I stopped the car. Now, there was 20 people out there kicking that ball back and forth across the road. And there's me and my wife. And I stopped the car and I get out of it and start back there to talk to them and give them a piece of my mind because I didn't like what they were doing. I don't think that was too wise when there was 20 to 30 of them and just me by myself. But, you know, sometimes the adrenaline gets to going and you do things that you look back on. And you see, it wasn't so wise. So this guy you're looking at up here, sometimes he's made some unwise decisions, but you know what? He loves me anyhow. It's like I said last week when I was speaking. One preacher one time said, you know, I was never good for anything until I found out that God didn't want me to be a great, important man. He wanted me to just be who I was and serve him and do what he wanted me to do. That's all he wants us to do. Listen to his voice. Hear him. Be obedient. You know, Eric Butterworth tells this story. He tells it, there was a college professor who for his sociology class, now if I hadn't written that down, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that. For his sociology class, he assigned them to go into the slums to get case history of 200 young boys in Baltimore. So the students were asked to write an evaluation of each of those 200 young boys, students. 25 years later, another sociology professor came in and saw the assignment that this first one had made for him to go into the slums and interview 200 young students. So he sent his students out to interview those 200 young men. And he found out that 20 of them had moved away, so that left 180. 20 of them had moved away and weren't there. And the other, of the 180 that still remained there, all but four of them had made a successful life for themselves. Doctors, lawyers, they had good jobs. They had been a success. And the professor then, he said, I got to check this out more. So he went and he started interviewing the boys. And he said, how in the world did you come out of the slums and be a success as you have been? And every one of those young boys said one thing. There was a teacher. So he, the professor, the teacher was still alive, and he went out and he talked to her. And he said to the teacher, he said, 176 out of the 200 boys that was interviewed all said, there was a teacher. How did you make a difference in the lives of those young boys? And that teacher, according to Eric, he said, the teacher said, I loved every one of those boys, as she smiled. And you know something? We can be a success because we have someone standing behind us that loves us, encourages us, knows our shortcomings, he knows our faults, he knows all about us, but none of that matters because I'm his child. I'm the sheep. I'm his sheep, and he's over me, and he guides me and directs me and keeps me safe. You know, my question is today, love makes a success of people. And if we will love the people that we're around and let them know, hey, I love you. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. We need to spend more time to be better prepared so that we can be the witness we need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ and help lost souls cook to make the decision to follow Jesus. But, you know, we have to listen. We have to listen intently, and we have to listen on purpose, and we have to pay attention to what he's saying. We have to be a child of his. You know, Jesus, he's not a door. Jesus is the door. There's only one. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the door. And you know, there's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. He's a shepherd. He's the one that leads me and guides me and keeps me safe. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with you. And let's stand and sing a verse of invitation in case someone wants to come, get on their knees, and talk to the Lord.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It is such a privilege to share God's word with you. If God has spoken to your heart because of the message, stop right now and respond to whatever it is God is asking of you. Don't wait another minute. You can pray right where you're at and ask God for his help. If this message has helped you in any way, we would love to hear from you. Let us know if you have any questions or we can help you with your decision. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do ye say that I am?" And he offers the same question to you today. What would your answer be?